Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome back into the Orlando Lions Den, everybody. Mike here, hosting for you this evening, and it's always good to come back and host the podcast after a dub, especially a cardiac cat dub. I got my boys with me tonight, so first I'm going to go over to JJ. JJ, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, always doing good. Great victory by Orlando City over the weekend up in D.C., up in the nation's capital. So great victory, great win, and I'm feeling good.
I like it. Before we talk, you said I had a voice for radio, and you just definitely radioed it up. I appreciate that. Just trying to show me up.
He always gets into a mode when he's ready to pod.
Alex coming down from Naples? Fort Myers? Which one is it?
Naples. North Naples.
How we doing in North Naples today, my man?
It's Tuesday. Special teams, special plays, special players. Time to talk about it. Love a dub. Love a cardiac cat-ish because the match went 105 minutes. But I'll take it. I love a W. I love a Duncan McGuire goal. Let's talk about it.
I love it. And Cleon, he showed up late on our injury report. But unlike Orlando City, we got an update, and he was able to come in and still put in a shift. Cleon, how are we feeling over there?
I'm gonna see how long I can go. I don't know if I'll go to full 90 today, but we'll see.
Hey, all about going the full 90, and if you need help going the full 90, go to bluechew.com, code Orlando City. They're not a real sponsor.
Not yet.
Working on it.
Sorry. I have too many. There's a couple wrestling things that I follow that are sponsored by Blue Chew, and they like to make that joke all the time. Cleon will find it funny because there was a tweet today that was saying, is Rey Mysterio the most turned on wrestler of all time? So does you want to be turned on as Rey Mysterio? That's funny. Anyways, now that I'm done rambling about stupid stuff, let's go ahead and cut into the sponsors before we talk about everything. First off, I'm going to go with Field Turf USA, just because I don't have a slide up for them. Field Turf, been with us from the very beginning. They do all the different fields all around Europe and MLS. Anything turf, for the most part, Field Turf is going to have their hands on. So Field Turf USA. Then we're going to go over to Leo at the Epic Mortgage Team, powered by U Mortgage. If you're looking for a mortgage or any kind of refinancing or anything like that, Leo is your guy. Here's all his contact info on the screen and a QR code if you want to visit his website for assistance. Then we're going to go to Fubo TV. Fubo TV, definitely all your soccer needs. A bunch of other sports as well. But if you need your soccer fixed that's not MLS related, Fubo TV has pretty much got everything you could imagine on there, especially beIN Sports. I know that's one that's kind of hard to get in the U.S., so got to give the shout out for that. beIN Sports is definitely a difficult one to have. Fubo TV's got you. And if you use our link here through the QR code or the link that's going to be in our in the bio for the video, that helps out the show, and we appreciate that. And last but not least, for right now at least, Eddie, Comparing Insurance. All your insurance needs, whether it be home insurance, life insurance, car insurance, pet insurance, Apple Watch insurance, Eddie's got you covered. And he's also not going to give you any BS. If he thinks that there's going to be something that might give you a better rate, he's going to tell it like it is and help you out. That's why Eddie's such a good man. And that's why so many people from our listeners have reached out to Eddie, and he's been able to help them out. So QR code on the screen again, and will be linked in the bio. Eddie, Comparing Insurance, will be able to help you out. With all that said, beIN long-winded, feel good getting a dub, guys. Obviously, we started out dub in D.C. Way it turned out, obviously, early on in the game, led up a goal to Christian Benteke. Just absolutely, if I'm being honest, Pedro caught in no man's land, had no idea what he was doing. Christian Benteke ends up scoring. Then we get an equalizer, great movement with Ivan Angulo. crossover to Dagger Dan Thorhallsson to get the equalizer. Then getting into the second half, even though we were looking pretty strong, again, Benteke unmarked in the box, gets in over to Pirani, I believe his name is, who puts them up 2-1. And then Poppy made some subs, and those subs paid some dividends. I believe it was we brought in Nico Ladero. We brought in Duncan McGuire. We brought in Rafael Santos. Those three came in together. Really had an impact on the game. We ended up obviously seeing a... I'm blanking on who scored the second goal now.
David Brekalo.
Thank you. Set piece, corner kick by Nico Ladero. Great header by Brekalo. You know,
was one of the things that called an own goal, but they said at the end, oh, nope, it came off his head. It was a weird angle.
It was a weird angle, but he definitely got a piece of it, and it was clearly intentional. And I mean, for all of us who saw his tape coming over, Brekalo definitely looked like he could be a monster on set pieces. So it was nice to see something like that happen with him getting the chance to start. And then we closed things out in the 91st minute. A counterattack, Nico Ladero with a through ball to Duncan McGuire, where by the time he received it, he looked like he was 4 yards offsides, but he timed his run perfectly. One-on-one with the keeper who was backpedaling, he caught him off guard. Beautiful shot, backflip. Couple Pedro saves later, we get the 3-2 victory up in the nation's capital, up in D.C. I'm going to go ahead and go to the optimist of the group first and go to Alex. Alex, give me your thoughts on the game, how you're feeling about the dub in DC.
This was a roller coaster. I had a lot of emotions going into this one just because it's been 14 days. We haven't played in a while. I know we're going to have a good portion of the group. Enrique aside, we can make jokes about that all we want. Not hearing from the club about what's going on with them, but we had a good lineup. It was a good lineup. We came out with our best that we had available, and we looked rusty at first. We looked like we hadn't played in 2 weeks, and that's the truth. But after the first goal, we dusted it off, got a tying goal, and then it happened again where we looked rusty. But in the end, I don't know if this is a big success or if we got out of there with 3 points because we stayed in it. But I think this is one of those wins where we stole some points. There was a lot of yellow cards for DC, which was one thing. It looked like the ref was very one-sided, but he wasn't. They were just very chippy. And we took advantage of that. We took advantage of them sitting back towards the end. And I learned a lot about offside rules with the Duncan goal, because I wasn't even able to celebrate that goal because I saw that there's no good camera angles. Like, Apple is spending a lot of money, but there was that one camera angle. I've seen one other from the club, and even then it didn't capture the fact that Nico's pass and Nico Ladero, great performance off the bench. Great. Top tier. But that goal by Duncan was a lot better than what we saw from Muriel early on. Muriel, earlier on in the second half, had a similar run against the keeper. I think it was towards the end of the first half. And he took one too many touches and he completely screwed it up. Whereas Duncan knows what's going on, takes 2 touches and he puts it in, gets his backflip, gets it done. And I had to message the guys in the chat and say, hey, is there an offside rule where that involves the halfway line? I've been a soccer fan for 10 years and I learned that rule today. I felt like Ted Lasso doing the salt shakers going, okay, if he's here, does it mean he's offsides? And he timed that run perfectly off of Nico's Hail Mary from the counterattack. And that's the cardiac cat-ish result that we needed. That was the shot in the arm. They said on the broadcast, this is the worst start in our history. And it's hard to swallow. It's hard to hear on the broadcast, but this was the shot in the arm that we needed, especially going into this run of teams that we can take competition to with the players that we have. So I'm happy for the win. I'm happy to see that we got a result. We got almost half of our goal allotment from the previous 540 plus minutes that we've played so far in 90 minutes. And that's something that I'm hoping that Oscar and the team are taking into next week in Montreal.
So I will go ahead and start by just saying that you're not alone in that. Like, either unless you played the sport a lot or were a ref, that's a rule that like a lot of people don't necessarily know about, because it happens so seldomly with your team. So don't hold any shame in that. I'm a nut job. I played the sport since I was 7 years old, and I was an official. I got my license to be a referee when I was 12, and I started reffing games when I was 13. So like, I know the rules backwards and forwards more than I probably need to. But that's definitely one of those ones that you don't know it unless it happens to your team, I feel like.
And it's never happened to Orlando. We haven't had Nico Ladero coming off the bench. Like, we've been hard on Nico a lot, but him coming off the bench and getting two assists, that was a good performance. And we definitely have to tip the hat to Oscar for saying, hey, bring in a guy that knows what's going on. I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn here, but I'm pretty sure he came into second solo lead all time in active players for assists in MLS. Is it active players or all time?
That I wouldn't know off the top of my head, to be completely honest. So
I'll do research and come back later. But
I do agree with you, though. I think that I kind of said during our preseason stuff, I think the best role for Nico is going to be coming in off the bench as an experienced leader. I think that worked out well. JJ, I'm going to go over to you. What do you make of Nico's performance off the bench, and how are we feeling?
Everybody, hold your horses. Hold your horses. All right. First of all, we got to win. A couple of things. They take the 1-0 lead. We get a nice Ivan Angulo cross into Dagger Dan, who scores the goal, 1-1. It, from the basically 21st minute, or from the first minute all the way to the 21st minute, we played like caca. Not like caca, but caca.
I was about to say, Bon Dior winner?
Ooh. A little bit of accent.
We smoking.
Then, in the 21st minute to about the 62nd minute, this was a whole different Orlando City team. From passing to everything. And then from the 62nd to about the 80th, we went right back to that caca. And then finally, Nico Lodero just kicks the ball. And Duncan was smart enough to be on the side where he wasn't offsides, where he can run. And he was one-on-one. They were sleeping, the DC United players. Now, Pedro, yes, he had a brain fart for that first goal. But goalkeepers, he should have just went in there and tried to grab it. That kind of reminded me of Bendik. I hate bringing it up. It was against DC United when, was it Bendik or Rowe? I don't know who it was. I think it was Bendik, right? When Wayne Rooney, when he came out.
It was Bendik.
Yeah, where he came out. Also, this Pedro Galesia one was kind of the same thing, even though it was a corner kick. He comes out too far. He should have just gone and put his arms out, try to hit it, punch it, whatever. and as a goalkeeper, just go up to the player and just hurt him if you have to, but get to the ball somehow, some way, and play the ball. So he had a brain fart, but he saved our butt in two shots. I mean, Herrera had a shot. I don't know how he saved that one. I mean, that thing was going right. And then another one where he just basically, I don't know, he pulled it out of his you-know-what. So Pedro saved our butts too. If not, this could have been a tie. It could have been a loss. So, and we're instead of talking about a big dub, we would be talking about another loss. So that's why I say hold your horses. We did improve. I saw improvement. But once again, defender has to score. Two of the goals were really defenders, a fullback and a defender. I want to see my guys, my offensive players scoring, and we're not seeing that. And I'm going to go to about what Swag said at Den After Dark. I kind of disagree with him. And what I disagree with, Duncan is showing more productivity on the field than Luis Muriel. Yes, Luis Muriel is getting paid more. Yes, we signed him. Yes, we do this. But if we keep Luis Muriel and he's not doing anything on the field and Duncan's coming in the with 20, 30 minutes left and he's doing, give the starting job to Duncan. I think it's Duncan. Duncan needs to have that starting position. Luis Muriel hasn't done anything. We've tried him as a 10. We've tried him as a 9. We've tried him as every freaking number probably since he's been here. Or just let him loose inside that box and let him do his own thing. Take the chains away from his legs. Take everything. Let him be free. And let him play his game. If you want Muriel to score goals, you got to let him free. You got to let him score. Or, excuse me, you got to let him be free and roam around wherever he wants in that box and go. He has the moves. He can do the moves. And once again, he tried. I mean, Connor Antley basically ate him alive, you know. Even though he was trying to do moves on him, Connor Antley from the Tampa Bay Crowdies, former Tampa Bay Crowdy player, was eating him alive. So let the guy do his own thing, play Facundo at 10. And then when he got off of that 10, he started going to the side. And when Lico came in and everything just started getting again messed up. So there's still a lot of work to do. So everybody just hold your horses. It was a good win. We ended up winning in DC, but big saves from Galese. And I need offense to score, not defense.
See, I'm with you in the fact that obviously we need our offense to score. I'm not pulling the starter yet out from underneath Muriel. And the only reason that I'm not is because I feel as though it's pretty much written in ink at this point that we're losing Duncan in July. So I think we need to.
Oh, I agree with you on that, Mike. Totally. If we're losing, we got to keep Muriel in.
Yeah, that's the thing is if we're losing him, we need to give him as much minutes to get cohesion and whatnot as we can, and then bring in Duncan in off the bench. If we know that we can get a goal out of Duncan if he's only got 30 minutes, you know what? I'm fine with that. But I agree with pretty much everything they had to say. Cleon,
who else would you want off the bench though than Duncan McGuire?
Ramiro,
whenever he comes healthy.
Yeah. Whenever we get an update, considering he was
playing winger anyway, though.
Yeah, he could do a little bit of both. I mean, and then there's always our savior, Jack Lynn, you know?
He hasn't looked too hot. He hasn't looked too hot at 9, though, honestly.
So
he's looked a lot better at the wing.
I agree. Ramiro, I think Ramiro honestly translates better as a direct left winger. I think that's his best position. Cleon. Anything reaction to what the other guys said and your thoughts on the game?
I don't know. A lot of what happened was actually what I was last time we were on the pod, what we were kind of talking about and saying, kind of, you know, with as far, especially as far as dunking goes and things like that, and you know, a little of the overcoaching maybe, and dunking. You know, he kind of thrives in chaos and broken plays, honestly. And a lot of things that he just does himself, where he, you know, a lot of coaches or even analysts, they say, okay, he's running selfishly or he's doing this and he's just doing his own thing. And you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I mean, you should be just be going with what works. You know what I mean? Not what's ideal. If it's okay, this is ideal and it's, you know, he's running for the team and not just making runs for himself or making selfish runs or runs that don't need to be made and he's going to tire himself out and, you know, so on and so on. And I said last time we were here, I mean, the guy's already proven he can score off the bench or he can make impacts off the bench. He did it for half the year last year, basically. Where he comes in and he just does whatever he wants and he runs wild and he's, you know, just bull in a china shop type of deal. That's what he thrives in. So, I don't disagree with him coming off the bench at all. But there does come to a point, like what JJ is saying, for me, there does come a point to where sometimes, whether he's leaving or not, if you're losing games, I mean, do you just bench him just because, he's going to be gone in half the year? Or do you just do what's best to get as many wins as you can before he goes? You know what I mean? Because sometimes what's better in theory, you know, in theory, yeah, sounds great. He's going to leave, so we should play this guy. But if the guy you're trying to play is just not working and you're losing games, it's one thing if it's not working and you're still winning in spite of. But if you're losing games, sometimes you just got to do whatever you got to do to win. You know what I mean?
I'm with you, man. And honestly, I feel like it puts us in just such a difficult situation just because we know the writing's on the walls with Duncan. But at the same time with Muriel, we just haven't seen it yet. You know, like we've seen the flashes of the fact that we know he's got quality. We know he's got flair and flash. It's just it hasn't translated to goals or assists yet. It hasn't translated into the measurables that you need to see. It's a rough situation. Rough situation. That does kind of lead me, though, into my next question. And that's just with the fact that we haven't been scoring many goals, and now we scored 3 goals in 1 game. Do you think that we're starting to find our scoring boots? I know, obviously, one thing that JJ mentioned, 2 of our goals this week were scored by defenders. Yes, Dagger Dan is a more attacking-minded defender, but 2 goals were still scored by defenders. In our last two wins, a goal in each game was scored off of a set piece. You know, we haven't scored as many during the run of play. Do we feel like we're finding our scoring boots, or are we still hoping that there's for a little bit more here? I'll go to JJ first.
Well, I don't think we found our scoring boots yet. I mean, when you got defenders and we're scoring goals off set pieces, like you're saying, Mike, I want to see Facundo score. I want to see Ojeda score. I want to see Muriel score. I want to see Angulo score, who's had opportunities. And when they're not scoring, we're having issues. Just DC, I mean, you got Bracalo, who basically used his head. I mean, it was a header off a set piece. Dagger Dan was in the right place. Finally, somebody's on that right side when we have a cross and somebody was there. Usually nobody's there, put it that way. Luckily, Dagger Dan was there this time. And look what happened. He scored. But we definitely need to get our offense getting goals. We need the Martin Ojedas. We need the Facundo Torres. We need the Luis Muriels. We need the Evan Angulos to score. Those are our goal scorers. And if they're not scoring goals, you might as well say this season's over. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the biggest issue is all of our big money players, all of our attackers. Outside of Duncan McGuire, where are the goals coming from? You know, it's got to be better.
It's pretty bad when you get Kyle Smith scoring goals.
That's true. Alex.
I don't think we've found it just yet. I think it's still, I think this is a jump start, but I'm getting deja vu to basically the last 2 years where we've had this very similar conversation where our defenders are getting a lot of goals early on because our offensive players aren't getting either fed or aren't getting the possession and shots on goal that we need. We've had this conversation at least 2 years in a row on the pod.
Are we getting fed up with that, Alex? Aren't we getting fed up with it? Or should, we should be, as fans, getting fed up with it. It's the same exact thing year after year after year. We're not winning trophies this way.
I am fed up with it, but in the past, I'll get more in depth on that. I am fed up with it, especially considering it's not the players that were paying the most. And as much as you want to see, oh, the players that are the offensive players that were paying the most, they should be scoring the most goals. Yeah, that's definitely a fair assertion. But we also need to talk about the fact that the light is, and I hate to single out Facundo Torres, but I have to. He's one of my favorite players, but every year we've had him, he's always started out slow. He never comes out of training camp, comes out of the start of the season, and he's clicking on all cylinders. He doesn't get the big goals until May or June. I mean, when we won the Open Cup in 2022, it wasn't until July that he really started clicking. And that's I don't know if it's a mentality. I don't know if it's a prep thing. I don't know. I'm not an athlete. I don't know. But every year, you don't see these performances early on. Muriel gets a little bit of a pass because he's a newer player. He's new to the league, and he's integrating into a system where he wasn't expected. We were expecting, where he was expected to be the guy, but then Duncan stayed. And that's been kind of a weird impact that we've had to deal with. And unfortunately has led to Duncan, thanks Blackburn, being our lead scorer at 3 goals so far. So we have to see if we can integrate him like you were talking about earlier and having Muriel contribute more. He had some contributions in CONCACAF against Cavalry, but other than that, we need to see the goals from the players that we're paying. And I'm not going to stage a coup. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to use your header that you put up for the start of the show, but and blame it on the coach. But at the same time, it's the same thing year over year, and it's from specific players. Like, everyone can say all they want, oh, Jacqueline is the second coming of Christ, but he came in a match where both teams were missing a lot of players. Yeah, Jacqueline might be the future. He might be a good player that we can rely on off the bench or when Duncan or Muriel are away, but he's or injured, but he's not the primary striker that we have to depend on every day or every moment when we're looking at, oh, we're not scoring. That being said, it's nice to see defenders getting in there. Bracalo had 7 goals in his 3 years with Viking. And that's what we brought him in on. Mike said earlier, we saw the tape, we saw what he could do, and he's done that. Nico Lodero, like we trashed on him early on, and he's coming alive, and I think that we can utilize that. He's not a young man anymore. He's not going to go 90 minutes. We're not going to see him do these starting and go the full 90 and perform. Him coming off the bench in this match was a masterclass and also highlighted what we can do with the likes of Ojeda. So we'll see. I like that we got performance, but I want to see more from the offensive side, especially in the first half. And that's the problem, because we put up so many goals late but we're not scoring early.
I got sorry, Mike. I gotta cut in here. So, how many games have we played total so far this year, counting Champions Cup? Probably 10, 11, right? I think
counting played Champions 2, Cup, 11.
11. So, I'm getting fed up with these fans, Orlando City fans, still stating, please wait. It's still early. We're freaking 11 games in, people. This is what we're going to be, okay? We continue to play the same way. We don't win any cups. Yes, we won the U.S. Open Cup. Great. I'm happy. We won the U.S. Open Cup. We came in second place last year every time we get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, okay? And we're always saying, let's wait, wait, wait. Like, Alex, I'm not going on you, Alex. I'm just saying, like you're saying, let's wait until Facundo, who comes in May or in June or in July. We're paying the money to this guy. This guy is a professional. He should be playing constantly the same way the whole year. Not let's wait until 3 months after we're already played in the season to show up. No, we signed you. You're getting paid. You're supposed to be playing the correct way. You're supposed to be giving us goals, assists, or whatever. Not wait 3 months after we've already lost 3 or 4 or 5, 6 games. I want you to play from – that's why there's preseason. That's why there's training camp before the season, okay? If you can't do it within 3 months, then you shouldn't be in a purple jersey, okay? Get somebody else that can do it, all right? Same thing with the Martin Ojeda's and all this stuff. Okay, Luis Muriel, he's come in. He played since Calvary. So he's already played about 4 or 5 games with us. He should know, plus practice, he should know what's going on. Okay? If he doesn't know what's going on, then this is where I'm going with the coach. This is coach's issue. And the coaching issue is Poppy then. Okay? So if these guys are not connecting the dots, this is the coaching issue. And this is Poppy's issue. And then this is why I'm Poppy out. So going back, if we have to wait 3 to 4 months for our star player to finally heat up, then we got a problem, fans, because there should be no reason. You don't see when Man City comes in at the beginning of the Premier League or Barcelona, Real Madrid. Let's wait until Vinicius waits 3 months until he starts heating up to play. By that time, they're out of the Champions League because guess what? He's waiting to get heated up. So this is not an excuse. There should be no excuse for Facundo Torres to not be playing well or to be playing well or either or. He needs to play since the beginning. That's why you got training camp. That's why you got preseason. No excuses. Let's wait 3 months. And it's always the same thing with the fans. Oh, we started like this last year. Well, you guys like to lose. I don't like to lose. And then what do we get? We get second place, and then we get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. And here we go again. The following year, same thing. This has to change.
We definitely are going through the growing pains of learning what it's like to be a winning team. And I agree with you.
But winning part. Team of what? Just winning the U.S. Open? We've never won anything in the MLS except the U.S. Open Cup.
Slow your roll. I'm speaking in general American sports here for a second. Calm down, Captain.
Oh, okay.
All right, okay. Benfica. Chill your shorts for 20 seconds. No, I'm talking like winning team, making the playoffs, competing in that regard. We've just gotten to that point, and now we've built it with consistency. It's now we have to take the next step. And that's where I believe that there is merit to the argument of wanting a managerial change, because I believe that maybe Poppy has taken us as far as he can. And if we need to get to the next step, maybe there's someone else who can do that better.
Can I ask a question there?
Depends on what the question is.
Who's going to take us there? That's the question.
Oh, shut up. I'm going to give you that because that's what everybody's argument is. Everyone's argument is, well, if it's not him, then who? That's not my job. My job isn't to tell you who it's supposed to be.
Well, it was the same thing with Jason Christ. Well, get rid of Jason Christ, but who's going to take us? Well, look, we found Oscar, who took us to the next. Now it's time for them to look for somebody else that will take us to the next one.
And I, you know, obviously I'm speaking in fun, Alex. So like, I'm not saying
I know,
you know, cause I'm not, like I said, I'm not where JJ is at yet. Like I'm not at that point. I'm just saying
any of us are,
I just understand where he's at, with it. I'm not sure. Cleon's stance hasn't been made clear. I've been trying to get over to him, but we got, we're sidetracking a little bit here. But that's one of the questions that I kind of hate the most is we can fantasy hire whoever we want. Like Zinedine Zidane's available. If I could have him to be our manager, damn right, I would take him yesterday. But is there a realistic chance that he comes? Hell no. You know, but at the same time, again, I'm not the person who's paid to fill that position. So it's hard for me to feel like I can go ahead and start talking about who's out there and who should take the job. There, I know that there's a bunch of managers out there who realistically would be qualified and could potentially do it. But again, it's for me, I don't like the exercise of, well, who would you hire? Who would you replace him with? Because, you know, it's hard. You know, we're fans. You know, at the end of the day, we're fans. It's hard for us to go ahead and be in the shoes of what the executives are going through and how they make those decisions. So...
yeah, in somewhat change for change sake, just because they're not happy with what they see, some people come in and say it's not just the coach that, oh, we renewed the whole front office and we should blame it on them. I don't think that for one second, considering what they've done in the offseason, and that was without the MLS rule changes, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that a bit later, but I don't think we need to entirely blame this on coaching. I still partially blame this on MLS itself, and I know I've beat this drum, but scheduling did kill us, and look at us. We didn't play in 14 days. We came off a little rusty, but we came out and we played a good match. Not a great match, but a good match on the road.
Very fair. Very fair. Cleon, you've been quiet throughout all this. Thoughts on all of that?
I mean, I'm definitely not all the way over there yet. I do like to see that Oscar did try to finally, mind you, it seems like it's like a season late at this point. But I do like to see that he did try to fit all of his on paper best players who's supposed to be onto the pitch. So, I mean, for me, that's progress, because at least he's trying to make the adjustments. Whether he can capitalize on those adjustments or figure out how to capitalize off of switching things up and get people in the right positions and have the team clicking the best way is yet to be seen. Last year, the changes that needed to be made were made too late. We did still end up finishing second. That's great. But those changes were made earlier. Who knows where you end up? And, you know, maybe you do end up not getting bounced by Charlotte in the Open Cup. You know what I mean? Which was friggin' infuriating. You know, so maybe you did have a chance to, you know, do something.
Win the Supporters Shield, maybe get past Columbus.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You could have, we probably could have made another step, basically. So 11 games. Actually, honestly, it's not even that far off where he made the changes last year, right? It's a little earlier, maybe a couple weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Two or three.
It's earlier it's earlier in the stance of where we're at as far as regular season games go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As far as regular season games go, it was made a little earlier, so it was still a little slow on the, okay, let's try to fix this. But at least it's happening. So for now, I'll, you know, let it play out. Made the switch. We're 1-0 from that point. Take it the next week and see how it goes from here. So I'm definitely not on already there as far as, you know, going after the coach and things like that. But, you know, For me now, it's okay. It's not wait and see and just sitting back and he's not doing anything. But he has, you know, he's switched something up. Now we did win. Let's see what happens now.
All right. I think that was a good conversation in regards to that. So now we're going to speed things up a little bit. Let's go with stock up, stock down. I'm going to do mine and I'm going to be quick. Stock up. I'm going to give Nico Ladero his flowers, 2 assists off the bench. I think he deserved it. Stock down. It's just going to be plain and simple. Muriel's making the most money on the team. I need more. I'll go to Cleon first. Stock up, stock down. I kept mine quick. You can take as much time as you want, my friend.
Stock up for me. I'm actually going to go Faku, not based off of this game. But I think we will – I think we'll see more out of him playing in the center, personally. Stock down is still Pedro for me. Still. Because while yes, he's saving us with some late heroics, okay, your early mess-ups are kind of what put us in the first place. And that's been going on all season long, and it was still the same thing this week for me.
Yeah, and I actually got into an argument with someone on Twitter in regards to the fact that I mentioned that I feel as though there's a regression with Pedro. And they're like, yeah, but he made us 2 big saves at the end of the game. I was like, yeah, he made us 2 big saves, but like, there's so many times where he's cost us goals this season.
It's like if I hung you off a balcony myself, and then I pulled you back up and said I saved you.
That's after you started falling.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
I pull you up, and they're like, "You're the one that put me here."
No, I'm with you. Yeah, that's my thing. I'm happy that he's making saves, but it's not changing the decision making that led me to say that I feel like he's regressed before that. So I agree. JJ, stock up, stock down.
You guys are going to be surprised by my stocked up Kyle Smith. For some odd reason, I'm in love with him this season. And the reason is because he's the Iron Man of this team. Wherever you need him, you need to put him, he goes and he does his job. I make fun of Kyle Smith all the time and this and that, but this year I'm gaining respect to the guy, to be honest with you. Right back, left back, center, defensive mid, the guy's everywhere. He puts his heart and his hustle out there for Orlando City. He's just an average Joe who has taken this opportunity and has run with it. So to me, definitely Kyle Smith, man, keep up what you're doing, even though I do make fun of you and everything. But I mean, you're honestly the heart and hustle of this team so far this year. And I like it for what you've done. My stock down. The whole front of Orlando City, from Luis Muriel to Martin Ojeda to Facundo Torres to Ivan Angulo. I mean, these guys, you know, Ivan gets a new contract, Luis Muriel gets signed, and he's probably making millions of dollars, the highest paid player, like you said, Mike.
I'm certain of that. We don't have the numbers yet, but I'm sure of it.
Probably. And then you got Martin Ojeda, you know, DP also. It's just these guys have to be the guys. You know, and they're not doing it. They're not. So those are my four. Are those four are stocked down?
Happy to hear you come around on Kyle Smith. If you want any Kyle Smith trading cards, I got the hookup for you. I got a couple of them. Alex, stock up, stock down.
Stock up. You got to give to Ricallo, getting his first goal in MLS, putting in a decent shift at the back. I think he looked good gelling back in with the team. I like him. I think that him and Jansen, however long they'll be together, is going to be a good thing. Obviously, my stock down for Pedro got taken. So I'm going to go to the other end of the center back circle and make a controversial call and say Jansen, because as the captain, we're seeing a lot of, and I said a little bit on this last week, he's not leading the team like he should. And I don't know, especially there was the confrontation, and was it him that got pushed over or was it someone else? I can't.
It's Wilder.
It's
Cartana,
always Wilder, yeah. Bro. When in doubt, just assume it's Wilder.
Yeah, and red cards to referees aside, I think Jansen needs to step up and actually lead by example. And this isn't necessarily about his play, but getting the team to cohese better. And that's all I'm really going to say about that.
Cool. Well, I understand where you're coming from. And now we're going to be rapid firing through a couple things here. First, I'm going to go to Jason Jose Romano as he's breaking news out here today about a possible new Orlando City partnership on the horizon. Let us know what's going on, my man.
All right. So I had people call me from Portugal. My source is there. If I finally can say sources again.
Humble brag.
Yes. So this has been in the works for at least now, I mean, before COVID, when we signed Nani, and then COVID hit, and this partnership with Sporting Lisbon kind of not died out. It's just because of COVID and everything didn't work out well. Well, it just got brought up and found out that Ricardo went to Portugal, which I kind of knew that also because somebody told me that they were going to Portugal went to kind of work out a deal with Sporting Lisbon, with Paulo Gomes, who's their head academy guy in Sporting, and the president Federico Varandas of Sporting Lisbon, and working on getting a partnership with Sporting Lisbon. And what this partnership is going to do is it will let us send our academy players to the best academy in the world of Alcochete, which is Sporting's academy, and train there. That's where the likes of Ronaldo, Luis Figo, Ricardo Quaresma, all these big soccer players started their career, go there. And it's already kind of started in December with Thomas Williams going to Sporting Lisbon. I don't know if you guys remember him being there over
he wasn't
the
alone,
winter
I
break.
Believe.
Yeah, there was somebody else. Yeah. So that has been already. So that kind of in the works. So within the next week or two, you might see this partnership fully fulfill. And what it means for Orlando City is a lot of the young academy players that are good, that are Sporting, that are going up to the next step into the first division, will probably come to Orlando City to get to play with the big boys, which is the MLS, which would loan out players from Sporting Lisbon to Orlando City, get them the experience of playing in the big leagues, and then heading back to Sporting, playing, and then most likely getting sold for millions and millions of dollars like they usually do. So this is all coming out. It's been in the works, but it looks like it's going to be happening. And then the sponsorships or the partnerships with the other teams like Benfica, I think Stoke City was one, and then there was a Brazilian one.
I think there's also Wolfsburg, I think, from Germany.
Wolfsburg, yeah. So those have been all nullified due to the sale of Flavio selling Orlando City to the Wolves. So this will be the Wolves' first partnership with an international team, of which would be Sporting Lisbon, which to me is a great, even though I'm not a big Sporting Lisbon fan, but knowing their academy and knowing what the products that they have built and who they've built, this will be great. And it's great because you're going to use the coaches from Sporting and the coaches from Orlando City will work together. Scouts will work together. So if somebody sees something from Sporting that they say, hey, it looks pretty decent, you know, but we're not interested in him, would you guys, you know, they'll come to Orlando City and say, hey, this guy looks pretty decent. Let's you guys would like him. So it's a great partnership, I think.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it. And I know you being a big Benfica guy, I know it hurts your heart a little bit to see us partnering with Sporting, but at the same time, you also can't deny the quality of what they're able to produce and have produced in the past there.
Definitely. I'm not, there's no, I mean, Sporting who they've created in the past. I mean, Sporting in the 90s, I mean, they were basically nobody could touch them. I mean, all the youngsters from Nani to Cristiano Ronaldo to Luis Figo to Ricardo Sapinto to, I mean, you name it, you know, those guys all came from the academy. And even today, you know, you got Paulinho that's playing in Fulham, you know, João Paulinho. You got plenty of players that are in the in the Premier League that are playing that came from Sporting. And now even with now the team that they have, you know, they got Victor Gyökeres, who's a phenomenal striker. You're going to see him in England probably next year. And then you got Pot, who's another, Pedro Gonçalves, who's another great. And now there's a new kid that's coming up. They just put him out today on Instagram. Check him out. If you go to Sporting Lisbon's Instagram page, this kid's like 13, 14 years old. And I mean, he's doing moves better than what Cristiano Ronaldo did when he was younger, between the legs. He's running to the side and everything. So yeah, Sporting has a great academy. I mean, I'll be honest, Sporting and Benfica are probably the best two academies right now in the world. So to have a partnership with Sporting Lisbon, it's great. It's phenomenal.
Definitely. I know Alex said he had a couple questions on that. So, Alex, you want to go ahead and ask some things before we move on to the next part?
Yeah. JJ, where do you see this going as far as not just the senior team, but OCB? Sporting Lisbon has a secondary team that plays in the third league for Portugal, but do you see it being more of a benefit for them to send some of their players to play for OCB? And could that lead to those players coming up to play for us in certain cases when we need a position filled due to injury or international duty?
So what will happen with Sporting Lisbon B team, you're correct, plays in the third division. They got relegated into the third division. They used to play in the second division, and they got relegated. So a lot of those players that are playing in Sporting B that are playing in the third division will most likely stay there in Portugal. What you're going to see is a lot of our OCB, when they're not in season, going to Sporting, because that's right in the middle of the season in December, right when it had started in August. So December, January, you're in the mid of the season. So those guys are going to be training with those Sporting players and everything. Then in the summertime, yes, you're correct. Maybe some of those Sporting B players will probably end up here to get more exposure and probably a 6 month loan. So then with that loan, it's going to be Orlando City. They most likely will play in the B, and then if they're doing good enough and that we do need them, they'll move them up to the main roster. But you'll see probably a 6 month loan out of that. So when the season ends in May, so you'll have June, July, August, September, October, and then they'll probably until the end of the season, and then they'll head back. So it's a lot of, they're going to be playing a lot of soccer, these players, because they'll be going back and forth. But and it's the same thing. You might actually see B players get loaned out to the B team of Sporting. So it's a great partnership to have them all playing together and have different coaches coaching them. You have the coaches in Portugal. You have the coaches here in America. So you'll have an aspect of what this coach in America is saying to the coach in, you know, in Portugal saying, and you can learn a lot from that.
And do you a follow up? Do you think that that will impact more young player growth, or do you think that Orlando City, the primary team, can get some pieces, especially in the next two windows, that can help us? Do you think that in each of those windows, we'll see at least one transfer for each window that will, or temporary loan that will help us?
I could see temporary, but you're not going to get the best players. What you're going to get is probably from the B team, their best player from the B team, and maybe a mediocre that's on the main team. But you're not going to go in. You're not going to get the Pedro Gonzalez. You're not going to get the Gonzalo Inacios. You're not going to get the Gokres. You're going to get the smaller. You're not going to get the players that are the main core of that team. What you're going to see is a lot of the B players probably coming over here and getting loaned out, you know, and maybe getting, you know, helping us, you know, with some action. But I see it more going to Orlando City B than I do seeing him going to the MLS.
MLS Next Pro, look out.
There you go.
Definitely some good things there. And then we're going to move on because there's been some mid-season MLS roster rule changes that are, you know, in the works at the moment from what we understand. I'm just going to go ahead and go through them real quickly because there's I think there was three changes that are being made. Any real big changes are going to have to happen in the offseason because that would result in there needing to be more money and stuff like that being put out there. We're not there yet. That they need the players union to ratify that and stuff. So these were smaller changes that could be made. First, they increased the amount of buyouts from 1 to 2. Pretty easy, self-explanatory. Teams that get themselves into bad contracts, now you could buy out 2 of them to try and course correct quicker. I think that's a good thing for everybody. Second change, it used to be that if you sold a player, you can convert up to $1.2 million of that sale into GAM if, you know, obviously the amount's high enough. They've changed it. So now there is a max of $3 million per year that can be transferred into GAM. But you can also do that based off of just one transfer. So if we transfer Duncan Maguire for $5 million, we can immediately turn that into $3 million worth of GAM.
So we might have just gotten quite a bit more just off of what we could have seen from the loan versus if he gets sold during the summer window.
Very true. Very true. Potentially that is the obviously the team has to choose to do that. But in this day and age, I don't understand why any team would not convert money into GAM because that's salary cap relief and GAM is also flexible year over year.
Thank you, Blackburn.
Yeah. So, and then the third change, which is the one that's probably the most interesting, is they're making changes to the DP U22 initiative rules. So first, the way that it used to be is if you had 3 DPs that were senior DPs, you could only have 1 U22 initiative player. It is now that if you have 3 DPs, you could still have 3 U22 initiative players. There's not a restriction onto how that works. And if you have 2 DPs, you could have 4 U22 initiative players. And if you go that route of roster building, it would also get you an additional pool of up to $2 million in GAM, from what we understand. GAM being general allocation money. So my initial reaction to that is cool. I like there being more money. And I think you're going to actually start to see more teams lean away from having 3 DPs and going the 2 DPs for U22 route. The reason I see that happening is because you don't realize how valuable that extra $2 million in GAM is when it comes to building out roster spots 7 through 11 in your team, or not 7 through 11, roster spots 4 through 11 in your team. Outside of those 3 DPs, that extra GAM will help out so much in bringing in higher quality players, either through the rest of your starting lineup or even in your bench. And especially if you're a team that's selling players for that $3 million in GAM, you know, the way that the cap works is realistically it's a flat cap of like $5 million plus all of the different allocation monies makes it almost $11 million. But if you can have an extra $5 million based off of sales and the way that you build your roster, that's such a big step up on all the other teams. So obviously I'm the roster rules nerd. Me and Cleon, we're really the two who are the big dweebs with it. So Cleon, I'm going to go to you first if you have any opinions on the new rules, and then if anyone's got any questions, shoot from there. Cleon, you are muted.
My bad. opinions. I mean, it's all fine. They need to, I mean, really it's just overdue. I think it's probably going to them seeing themselves get smashed up in CCL or CCC, You know, they're probably helping that push a couple of these things along. But, I mean, there needs to be more. There needs to be more changes. I'm not one of these people that are like, oh, no cap at all, da-da-da-da. You're going to end up bankrupt, honestly. It's not
the or sports points deductions.
The sports are not popular enough for it to sustain a league with no cap whatsoever. But that cap just needs to be moved way up. Like I said, I mean, just move it up. All the extra rules. I mean, at the end of the day, you should put a minimum salary for a floor, a salary cap, hard cap, and no extra funny business in between. And call it a day, honestly.
What's the salary cap at right now?
This is what Mike was saying a little while ago. The salary cap itself, right? A lot of times people look, it's hard to, because the cap itself isn't actually what you're able to spend because of all the GAM and TAM and you know, all this type of stuff. But what you're really able to spend outside of DPs is around in between, I want to say it's about 13 million. When you include the cap itself, which is like right around five, the cap itself plus, you know, the amount of allocation they give you. So your actual maximum spend, not including DPs, is around 12, 13 million.
So it's actually going to be a little bit lower than that because the cap number is just at about 5.5 million. And allocation money, I'm trying to find the exact numbers for it, but I believe allocation money, general allocation money is 2.5 million. And targeted allocation money is 2.4 million. So realistically,
well, when I do another... it, you also have to account for the U22s.
That's true.
With that cap on there. That's why mine is a little.
That's higher. True. Yeah.
Because your max with all the funny business, the funny rules and stuff they have, it's around 12, 13. By the end of the CBA, what we've already agreed to, by I think 2027, I think is the end of it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, I believe, like 17 million. Like 17 to it.
All right. So let me ask you guys, you two financial nerds. If I sign a player, say like I want to go get, I don't know, let's say I want to go get Mbappe and I want to pay him or I want to buy him from PSG for $110 million. Can I do that in the MLS?
As long as it's a DP, yeah.
As long as it's a DP, it's not an issue.
So he has to be a DP.
If it's a DP, it doesn't matter what it costs. Okay. It doesn't matter what you can afford.
Yeah, if it's a DP, the only thing that you know for certain is that his salary is going to cost $650,000 against the cap. Anything else you pay him above that doesn't matter.
So who pays for that? So for example, we get Mbappe.
The owner
yeah. pays for and yeah, that's the 650K is what hits on the salary cap.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Everything after that is just out of pocket.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So technically we could go get any players in the MLS. We could get any players, but it would be the owners paying basically out of pocket.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and realistically, this all comes down to something that I think Cleon and me and probably everybody else that likes this league has said for years, is that this stuff is just so overly complicated for no damn reason. Like, there's so many ways that they can realistically make this better, and we're so far from it. So.
No, it's just, I mean... I just go, you know, I follow soccer. I followed it since I was a little kid. And this MLS rosters and money thing, I totally don't understand.
Hey,
Europe's,
I get
way
it.
Better.
I, well, you know, here. Europe's way better until you get hit with a financial fair play restriction, and then you're trying to exactly. figure out what that means.
Yeah, and then you start getting all that stuff. But I mean,
it's a lot of people are learning that this year.
You know, here, you know, I'm buying him for 100 mil, you know, and I'm selling him for 120. There you go. I just made 20 million profit. That's much easier than all this gam tam and out of the bams stuff.
Gam tam, Garber bucks. There we go. Yep. The Garber bucks, the Monopoly money. It's not real. The points are made up, but the game doesn't matter. Whose line is it anyway? There we go. All right. Enough of that. We got a game this weekend. Montreal away. Played them to a 0-0 draw in the season opener. From what I'm understanding, looks like Joseph Martinez is going to be the guy because Matias Kokkoro got injured last week, where they beat Cincinnati in their home opener. But they also got hammered by Seattle 5-0 like a week before that. So this team is an enigma. I'm not sure what to make out of them, but there's also going to be a couple of in-stadium changes with rules and stuff like that. So I'm going to go to Alex first. So, Alex, you said you kind of wanted to touch on those a little bit. We'll keep that quick. And then give me your preview on the game against Montreal. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, in-stadium rules, it's not much. It's mostly because the refs are just now getting into the string of things. Treatment. It's a lot of this is from MLS Next last year. If a player is down for more than 15 seconds, they have to be off the pitch for at least a minute. Substitutes have to come off within 10 seconds. That's anywhere on the pitch, or else the substitute that's coming in is held for 60 seconds until the next stoppage in play. And they're going to do in-stadium VAR announcements. So all this to say, we definitely need to get a couple of our players these rules tattooed on their eyelids, because the dark arts are going to have to change. Can't delay. You can't slow down the match as much as you want. There's and they talked about this a little bit on the broadcast over the weekend. There are exceptions for goalie injuries. But even then, there is a timeline. So Pedro cannot do what Pedro normally does. We can't be flopping. If you're going down and you're feigning an injury to try and draw a foul or draw VAR review, you got to get up quicker, or else you're going to get taken off until the fourth referee puts you back in. So as far as the trip to Montreal, we started off the season kind of dry against them, but I think this is a make or break match for us. Josef Martinez obviously has plagued us in his entire MLS career. I think that this team can take it to them, though. I think that we look good on the road. We look good, better with what we've got. If we continue with what we did to DC and don't come out rusty, I think that this is a 2-1 win that once again goes back and forth, and we score, they score, we score. So 2-1 win. I keep saying Facundo is going to score, so I'm going to keep saying it. Facundo goal, and I'm going to get Muriel the other goal.
I will say that I sure hope so. I also just want to say we went to one of the preseason games against the New England Revs. There was what seemed like a meaningless VAR review that happened in that preseason game, but I think it was just to test out the announcement protocol. So we did get to see that, even though the referees then went on strike and got locked out. But it will be cool. I like the idea of them doing the VAR resolutions, announcing them in the stadium. I think that'll be cool.
Make it JJ. Fun. Do it like hockey.
Or just make it like that one old college referee where he called a foul and he's like, penalty on number 36. He was giving him the business.
exactly.
one of my favorite penalty calls of all time. JJ, Montreal, what do we think?
Montreal, first of all, I want to go to this rule change thing real quick. I don't understand how they're going to get the goalies, because those guys, I mean, you're going to get them off for a minute or two. What are you going to do? Have the center mid defender or defender play goalie? I don't.
It's a much longer rule, but they don't specify it.
And I don't think the goalies, that's going to be interesting. But Montreal, there's going to be two things. A, we get beat badly. B, we beat them badly. And we're back on the train track. But if we get beat badly, then we're back and we get derailed. We're off of the train track and we're derailed again. So this is a make it or break it, like Alex said. If we end up winning and we play fluently, I think we're back finally on track. We finally got the wheels on the train back on the track, and I think we're in a good way. But if we get beat badly, or we get beat, I think what you saw was an illusion in DC, and we're back in the same track as we were. So with that said, I'm just going to say 1-1 tie.
Cleon, what do we got?
2-1 dub. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Short and sweet. I'm going to Cleon.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Muriel, because you can't miss them all. You got to hit eventually, right? And staying on track with that, second one, I'm going to go Faku.
Is there an echo in here?
It sounds like there might be. You guys might need to go ahead and bet on these results, see what happens. Those pay out really good if you end up getting it exactly right, I'll tell you that. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be more in line with JJ, only instead of 1-1, I'm going to say 2-2. Draw. Playing on the road is hard. Playing on the road in Canada is hard. Playing on the road when it's cold in Canada, even harder. I think 2-2 draws would be a very fair result, and I'd be content with it. I'll take that. So that brings us to the end of the show, because we definitely went a little bit longer than I think we were planning to. But that means we got some time for some shout outs. Ryder, we saved you for last time, so I'm going to have you go up first this time. Got a shout-out for me.
Appreciate that. Much shorter this time. Two mini shout-outs. One's shout-out to Scotty Scheffler, 2024 Masters Champion. And secondly, shout-out to the Florida Department of Transportation for finally sending me my Orlando City custom license plate. It has Orlando, it has my initials on it, and it has my cubbies on it. So can't be more happy than that, especially considering my cubbies are looking good so far. So enjoying that and enjoying seeing that on my car, because it's been a long time since I had a fun license plate.
What's it like to have a baseball team that looks good?
It's a lot of fun. It's been a few years, but I still get to look at my 2016 World Series newspaper hang on my wall every day and feel joy. So one day the Mets will do the same. I mean, you guys broke our hearts the year before. So
no, we won't. Go Mets, though. JJ, you got any shout outs for me?
Orlando Magic, go. Orlando Magico, oh, Orlando Magico. Shout out to the Orlando Magic. Great job getting the fifth seed after all the doubters and everybody, you know, said that they only going to win 35 games. Guess what? We got the fifth seed, and bring on that Ohio team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we'll beat them too. So go Magic.
Cleon, were you also going to shout out the Magic?
I was, but it's fine.
You can still shout out the Magic.
No, it's fine. They got their one. They're good. I'll go ahead and shout out the Pride for getting their first win, because a lot of people said I took a cheap shot last week on them, talking about Open Cup attendance and comparing it to a Pride game. So shout out Pride for that dub. Martyr's still doing their thing.
Road win in Utah, if I'm correct. And they also just had, I think it's Barbara Banda, The Zambian international just arrived and is in training and is available. So cool for them. Cool for the Pride. My shout outs slightly to the Magic too, because they knocked off the Bucks, which means my Knicks got the number two seed, and I'm rocking a old school Lady Liberty New York Rangers jersey because my Rangers won the President's Trophy. So I got President's Trophy Rangers with the number one seed in all of hockey, my Knicks number two seed in the NBA playoffs. And the last time that that happened was 19. Huh?
Buddhist man, JJ. I know you got the buzzer, man. Buddhist man, bro.
So the last time.
Orlando podcast, bro.
Hey. You can't take this away from me. All right. The last time this happened for the Rangers and the Knicks, OJ Simpson was also in the news cycle for 1994 with the White Bronco, and then he passed away this week.
Oh my God.
Good God, man. No, never mind. I didn't think he had that on his soundboard. Son of a God. All right. Anyways, so because of the fact that in 1994, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup and the Knicks lost in the finals, I may have just put a wager on the fact that I think they're both going to win the Eastern Conference this year for their respective playoffs. So that's my shout out. Go Knicks. Go Rangers. MSG. I love it. But most of all, go Orlando City.
There you go.
You think the Buffalo Bills for that, just because they drafted OJ and led to all this because he met his wife and all that?
We're not going to go down that route. No, I'm not thinking.
That's just too much, man. That's just too much right there. Oh man.
Oh,
vamos, Orlando.
Guys, this was a good show. Vamos, Orlando. I got to go ahead and see if I can fit in any of my old Knicks jerseys for the playoffs, but that's another story. Let's go get this.
Hey, by
win
the way, what's NFL. Hockey? What's hockey, by the way?
The sport on the ice with the sticks.
It's a good one. Don't have that here in Florida. We don't know that.
We do. The Solar well, Bears.
Well, we do a Solar Bears game. Tampa Bay Lightning.
Two Stanley Cups. In Florida. We don't know that thing.
Hey, all right.
That's just all the transplants from up north that come down that like the hockey thing. That melts here in Florida.
My wife would fight you if she heard that.
Anyways, vamos, Orlando. Let's go get this dub up in Canada. We'll talk vamos. To you guys next week.
Speaking of hockey.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.